In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your King is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. Today is Palm Sunday, and we celebrate Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and in so doing, we embark on the holiest journey in the holiest week of the church year, the week of our Lord's Passion. Today, we celebrate the fact that Jesus rides into His own city as the Son of David and the Son of God, the Son of David by the substance and flesh of His mother, and the Son of God begotten before all worlds, being of one substance with His Father. He is the Prince of Peace who rides into the City of Peace, for that is what Jerusalem means, City of Peace. But in that city, Jesus will find no peace, only suffering and death. And there, in divine irony, in His death is found your only peace. On the face of it, though, it seems a little strange, doesn't it? After all, Jesus is riding into Jerusalem to die. He knows that. That is His plan. It is for this reason that He came into the world, to ride into Jerusalem at just the right time to suffer and die. But why? That's the question. Is Jesus suicidal? Does He have a death wish? Why would He knowingly and willingly march towards suffering and death? What could Jesus have been thinking? The answer to that question may surprise you just a little bit, for Jesus was thinking of you. He was thinking of you, me, and every sinner that ever has been or ever will be. Jesus rides into Jerusalem where they kill the prophets and stone those whom God sends to her, because He knows what it will take to free you from yourself, from Satan, and from the grave. He knows that He must die. It is neither the desire to commit suicide nor the desire to be remembered in the history books and be famous or anything like that that compels Jesus to enter Jerusalem and face certain death. It is love. More specifically, it is His love for you. This morning, as we prepare to enter the week of our Lord's Passion, let us learn what that means. Jesus' suffering and death are called His passion because it is His overwhelming love and His obsession to save you that drove Him to His cross. So it is that when we Christians use the word passion in reference to Christ, we are not simply referring to Jesus' suffering and death alone, but also to that which drove Him to the cross. A love so intense that it would not let go of you at any cost. Jesus' passion is a love so great that He gave up everything, even life, to make you His brother or sister, a fellow child of God. That, my friends, is the passion of the Christ. Because of that passion, Jesus rides into His own city to pay the price you cannot. He rides into Jerusalem to set the captives free, captives who hate and revile Him. He comes to the Passover to be the blood sacrifice once for all. He is the Lamb who was slain, whose blood sets you free to be people of God. Like the lambs of the first Passover long ago, this Lamb of God is roasted in God's fiery wrath, so that His flesh may be eaten by all in His house. His blood is painted on the doorposts and lintels of your heart by way of your tongue, and death passes over you. Jesus rides into His own city to place His finger upon your mute tongue, His gentle hand upon your deaf ears, to speak His absolution and cure you of your leprous sin. He rides to save those who betray Him, to save those who cannot stay awake with Him even 1 hour, to rescue those who deny Him, to forgive those who kill Him. What beautiful gospel this is. But all this beautiful gospel is nothing more than theological cotton candy and mere sentimental spirituality if you do not recognize the necessity of Jesus' passion for you. The passion of the Christ avails you nothing if you do not see your role in His suffering and death. We like to sing the hymn, "Were You There?" And we'll sing it again this Good Friday, where we ask the question, "Were you there when they crucified my Lord?" But that's really the wrong question. In fact, rather than asking a question at all, we should instead, and indeed we must, confess, "I was there when I crucified my Lord. I was there in Judas' betrayal. I was there plotting with the chief priests and scribes against the Lord. I was there in Peter's denial. I was there running away in fear with the Lord's disciples. I was there with that angry mob shouting, 'Crucify!' in Pilate's courtyard. I was there with the Roman soldiers spitting upon the Lord, mocking Him, and even scourging Him. I was the one who placed the crown of thorns on His head. I was the one who drove the nails through His hands and feet. It was me. I am guilty. I crucified my Lord." As Dr. Luther put it, to truly meditate upon the passion of our Lord means that you deeply believe and never doubt the least that you are the one who thus martyred Christ, for your sins most surely did it. That is the confession each one of us must make if we are truly to understand the passion of our Lord and receive its benefits. And that confession, that realization that it was our sins, yours and mine, that made it necessary for our Lord to suffer and die, is what should cause us to tremble, 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 as that favorite hymn puts it. So, as we enter this holiest of weeks, tremble, my friends, not because those evil Jews and Romans way back then crucified your Lord, but because you crucified Him with your sins. Tremble and repent. Admit your guilt, confess your sin, fall upon your knees before the cross of your Savior and plead for mercy. For then and only then are you truly prepared to properly meditate upon His passion. Then and only then are your ears made ready to hear the beautiful gospel message of His passion, that Jesus rides into His own city to suffer for your sins and die your death because He loves you. He does it all for you to set you free, that you may dwell in forgiveness, life, and salvation. Therefore, heed His call. Cast your dirty garments at His feet, that He may trample them in His passion. Give to Him your robe of indifference and apathy, the robe that binds you with bands of excuses and enfolds you in selfishness, the robe that veils, muffles, and suffocates your love for your neighbor, your church, and your God. Throw down before Him your greed, your lust, your hate, your suffering, your pain, your loneliness, your despair, and all of your guilt. Place before Him your filthy works and receive from Him His righteous garment of salvation, washed white in the blood of his passion. Rejoice greatly and shout, O daughter of Zion, O daughter of Jerusalem, O bride of Christ. Behold, your king comes to you, righteous and having salvation. He rode into Jerusalem on that first Palm Sunday, not with great pomp and circumstance, but humbly, mounted on a colt, the foal of a donkey. He rides into this nave today, again, not with great pomp and circumstance, but humbly, mounted on his holy word and sacraments. He rode then to accomplish your salvation on the cross. He rides now to deliver the fruits of his cross to you, that you might receive and remain in that salvation. And he rode then, and he rides now, because of his great love for you. That is the passion of the Christ, your Lord and Savior. That is what this Holy Week, which we begin today, is all about. Friends, do not let it pass you by. Embrace it. Come to the Lord's house as often as you can this Holy Week, that you may properly meditate upon his passion, and then join your voices to all the faithful who properly and rightly declare, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen. Now the peace of God that passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.